Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So kids, this morning, this sermon is especially for you. So if you're not used to being in big church with your mom and dad, this might be a little hard to concentrate the whole time, but I'd like you to do your very best to really listen and pay attention and think about the things that are being said, because the God who made you has something to say to you today. God wants to talk to you from His Word, from the Bible. Okay? We are continuing a little mini-series on the Christian family today, and what I want to point out to you is the context where we find these verses in Ephesians chapter 6. The first half of the book of Ephesians is what? What's it all about? Anybody can tell me? You Bible scholars know the answer, right? Yeah, it's theology. It's doctrine. It's about what we're supposed to believe, what's true, what God has done for us in Christ. What's the second half of the book of Ephesians about? How we apply the doctrine of the first half. How we live out these glorious truths that are in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Now, right smack dab in the middle of the second half of the book of Ephesians, which is all about application, is this command in Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's really, really important. Because from that point, it's like concentric circles going out from that command. What Paul does from Ephesians 5:18 on is he begins to say, this is what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are certain consequences of being filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. You'll always be giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And you will be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Three basic results of the Spirit-filled life. But then Paul doesn't stop there. He takes verse 21 about being subject to one another in the fear of Christ, and he expands on that. And he goes for quite a way, starting in chapter 5, verse 22, all the way down to chapter 6, verse 9. All of that is an application, is an opening up, an unpacking of 5:21. So if you were to say, okay, what does it mean that we're supposed to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ? Paul says, this is what it means. You can see it in marriage, in family, and in work. In the marriage, it means that the wife submits to her husband. In the family, it means that children obey their parents. And in the workplace, it means that slaves obey their masters, or today it would mean that employees submit to and follow the directives of their employers. Now, it's interesting that he starts with the most intimate relationship first, husband and wife. Then he goes to the second most intimate relationship, parents with children. And then the most distant of the three is the slave and the master relationship. He also starts with the person who must submit first every time. So he starts with wives, be submissive to your husbands. Then he starts with children before he gets to parents and tells children to obey their parents. And then he starts with slaves and tells them to be obedient to their masters and everything. Now, before we dive into chapter 6, let's just review a little bit from 2 weeks ago. I drew out two implications of verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Implication number 1, Paul assumed that the children would be present in the church gathering, the worship service, where this letter was being read. And we know that because he addresses the children. This is in the vocative case. This is the case of direct address. In other words, he's saying, kids, children, I'm talking to you now. I've already talked to the wives. I've already talked to the husbands. Now it's your turn, kids. I have something to say to you personally. So Paul assumed that all of the kids were going to be there when this letter was read. And we drew out the implication from that, that it would probably be a very healthy thing if we start to bring in our children as young as they're able to start understanding what's going on in the service. And of course, the very first week they're in there, they're not going to understand much. But as they come back again and again and again, they're going to learn more and more. And it's going to grow incrementally in their life to where finally they're going to be able to understand the gospel, be converted. One of the benefits of this is that the preaching of the gospel is God's ordinary means of conversion. And so it seems counterproductive if we take our children and shuffle them off to Sunday school or children's church until they get out of high school and they've never heard the preaching of the gospel. They've heard, you know, they've heard lots of good stories and some teaching, but the preaching of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is God's ordinary way of saving those who believe. The second benefit is they see mom and dad's example, and they see that Jesus Christ is really important to mom and dad. They see mom and dad praying and sharing testimonies and singing songs of worship and listening intently as the word is being taught and perhaps taking notes. And they say, wow, look at mom, look at dad. They really believe this book and they really believe in Jesus Christ. So that's the first implication. The second implication from verse 1 is that children can be saved. We know that because Paul assumes that the children he's writing to, at least many of them, were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, because chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 is describing the Spirit-filled life that flows out of a child. In order to be filled with the Spirit, you have to have the Spirit, meaning you have to be a converted person. And so Paul assumes they can be converted. So that teaches us a few things. It teaches us we need to beware of assuming that children are already saved. In some churches, you just assume the kids are converted unless they prove by their life otherwise. I think that's a wrong approach. We need to assume they're unconverted until they give evidence of regeneration. They give evidence that the Holy Spirit lives in them. We need to also beware of not evangelizing our children and just waiting until they're adults. That's not right. And thirdly, we need to beware of using unbiblical methods to evangelize our children. Decisionistic approaches by just getting them to do this thing and assuming from that moment on they're converted simply because they said the prayer or whatever that thing is that you tried to get them to do. We need to look for the fruits of new life that come forth from that child. Okay, with all that said, let's look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Who is being addressed here? Who's being addressed? Who's Paul talking to? Children. The children. Now, what age are these kids that he's writing to? I mean, we don't know. He doesn't say children ages such and such. He just says children. But I think we can safely say these children are old enough to be able to understand what's in the letter. And they're young enough to be living under the supervision of their parents. So probably these are children old enough to understand what's being communicated, but yet young enough to still be living at home under the authority of their parents, under the father's roof. This morning, there's two questions that we're going to ask from these verses. First question is, children, what does God command you to do? And then secondly, why does God command you to do it? What does God command you to do? And why should you do what he has commanded you to do? Those are the questions. So number one, what does God command you to do? There's two things. There's one thing pointed out in verse 1. There's another thing pointed out in verse 2. They're verbs. Children, did you hear when we were reading through what God is commanding you to do? First one says, children, obey your parents. That's number one. Verse 2 says, honor your father and your mother. Obey and honor. Those are the two things you need to be especially interested in doing in your life. If you have to boil down your Christian life, those of you children who make a profession of faith, these are the things that you need to be especially concerned about: obedience and honoring your mom and your dad. Now, let's talk about that first one, obey. The word obey means that mom and dad are an authority over your life. That means they're in charge. That means that they have the right to tell you what to do. And they have the right to enforce that you actually do it. They have the right, in fact, even the responsibility to set ground rules for you, to send rules in the home of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. They are an authority. They're in charge. And you are responsible to follow their leading, to follow their supervision, to do what they tell you you must do. Now, does that mean mom and dad are better than you? Are they superior to you? Are you inferior to mom and dad in God's sight? No, doesn't mean that. Every person on the planet, on one level, is absolutely equal in the sight of God because they're made in God's image. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are or what color skin you have or what nationality you partake of. None of that matters. If you're a human being, you've been made in the image of God, and there is an equal status on that level with all people. But even though all people are equal, that doesn't mean that all people have the same job or that all people have the same role. They don't. Mom and dad have a different job than you do. Mom and dad's job is to bring you up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Your job is to obey them. Okay? Two different roles, but both equal. Now, that word obey in verse 1, children, obey your parents, it literally means to hear under. To hear under. What it means is that you are under mom and dad's authority, but you're listening to them. You realize that they've got the responsibility to take charge of you and to tell you what's right and what's wrong and to raise you up. And so you listen with the point of doing what they tell you to do. So if mom and dad are giving you instructions and you're tuning them out and you're thinking about the video game you want to play, that's not obeying your parents. In fact, that's sinning, not only against your parents, but sinning against God, because God has commanded you as a child to be obedient, to listen under, to hear them and respond to what they tell you to do. Also, this word obey, in the language the Bible is originally written in, which is Greek, it's in the present tense. Now, let me just tell you what that means. In the present tense in Greek, it means a verb is ongoing and continuous. So this is how it could read. Children, keep on continually obeying your parents. So, if you say, well, I obeyed mom yesterday, I guess I get a day off today. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches at all times, you must obey mom and dad. In every situation, you must obey mom and dad. You never get a day off from this. Just like mom and dad never get a day off from being a Christian and obeying Jesus. We are Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We don't take a vacation from that. And if you are a child who professes faith in Jesus Christ, this is God's will for you all the time. Colossians chapter 3, and Colossians is the sister letter of Ephesians. They're very, very closely related, these two books, Colossians and Ephesians. This is what it says in Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You hear that? All things. It's just like what he says to wives back in chapter 5, verse 22, verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. All things. Everything. He paints with this very broad brush saying, there's no situation where it's okay to be disobedient. But we should talk about that. Kids, do you think that there's ever going to be a situation where God might want you to disobey what your mom and dad tell you to do? No? Isaac says yes. Someone says no. Isaac, what do you think that situation might be? Can you think of one?
Maybe if they tell you to hurt somebody.
Say it again?
If they tell you to hurt somebody.
Okay, very good point. So if your parents were really evil people, And they said, I want you to go beat up that little kid down the street. Should you obey them? No. Why? Because they're telling you to do something that is, to do that would be to sin against God. So here's what you have to think about. God is the ultimate authority. Underneath God is your parents' authority, and underneath them is you. But if your parents are telling you to do something that is sinful, then you have to go around them to God. Now, there's probably not going to be very many situations in your life, if any, where that's going to happen. If your parents tell you, I want you to go into Walmart and steal those sunglasses and bring them out to me because I don't want to pay for them, you're going to have to obey God and say, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, but I can't do that. That would be to sin against God. If you grew up in a Jewish household and you were converted and you started to worship Jesus and your dad said, I forbid you to worship Jesus from now on. We don't believe in this household that Jesus is worthy of worship. He was a man, but he's not the Son of God. You'd have to say, I'm sorry, Mom and Dad, but I have to worship Jesus. I would be sinning against God not to. If you grew up and were converted and your father says, I forbid you to get baptized, you would have to say, I'm sorry, but I have to. I have to be obedient to Christ. But I think those situations are really, really rare, few and far between. I don't know if there's anyone here in this place today that's going to have to worry about that. Now, notice verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Plural. Not just parent, but parents. Mom and dad. That's why he says in the next verse, honor your father and mother. So, it's not just that, children, you're supposed to obey dad, because dad is stricter than mom. And you know that if you don't do what dad says, you're going to get a spanking. But if you disobey mom, she's soft and she's got a tender heart and she won't do anything. No, you are to obey mom and dad. Now, in my household growing up, that was reversed. My mom was a disciplinarian and my dad was the soft one. Mom would give us a real good spanking. If we disobeyed or told lies or said profanity, we'd get our mouth washed off with soap. We'd even get the belt. And I remember that stung real good. But you can better believe we'd think long and hard about doing that thing again after mom had spanked us. Obey your parents, both of your parents, mom and dad. Now, children, how are you supposed to obey according to the Bible? You are supposed to do what mom and dad tell you without arguing, without stalling, which means without waiting and making excuses, and without challenging them. In other words, this is first-time obedience. Have you ever heard that phrase before, kids? First-time obedience? Parents, I hope you're not in the habit of counting to 10. I sure hope that's not happening in your home. You have to the count of 10 to go put away your socks in the hamper. 1, 2, 3, and little Junior knows he's got until 9 3/4, so he's just waiting, you know. 9 1/2, 9 3/4. You know, it's really crazy. First time obedience means when mom says, I want you to get up right now and go set the table, you get up instantly. Now, okay, kids, let me ask you this. Tell me if this is obedience or not. You're playing your favorite video game. Maybe you've got a PlayStation 4 and you've got this great new game and you're totally engrossed in the game. And in the middle of that game, mom says, I want you to get up and go set the table. And you say, okay, just a minute. I'll get there in a minute, mom. And you keep playing your game. And mom says, I told you, I need you to come right now and go set the table. Okay, in a minute, mom. By the fourth time, mom's got fire in her eyes and she's got a wooden spoon in her hand and she's coming into the room and you jump up and you run into the kitchen. But because you're in such a hurry to get back to your game, you do a sloppy job. You don't put the napkins out. You don't put the knives on the table. You don't fill the glasses with water and then you run back to your game and you get right back into it. Is that obedience?
No.
No, it's not. It's not obedience. See, here's what obedience would look like. The very first time mom asks you to get up and help her, you get up right then, you go and do a good job, and then you say, "Mom, is there anything else you need help with?" You see, the attitude behind the action is just as important. The attitude of wanting to please mom, wanting to obey mom or dad, is just as important as actually doing what they tell you to do. So how are we to obey? All time, in every situation. So that would mean when mom says, "I want you to get ready for bed now," or "I want you to eat your vegetables," or "I want you to pick up the dirty towel that's on the bathroom floor," or "I want you to pick up your clothes and put them in the hamper," or "You need to pick up your toys, put them away, clean up your room, turn off the telephone," if you're on the telephone, this would be for probably older kids, "it's time to turn off the TV now," or perhaps to come a time when your mom says, I really don't think that music that you're listening to is good for you. I want you to get rid of that music and not listen to it anymore. Or there might be a time when all of your friends are going to see a particular movie, but mom and dad don't believe it's good for you, and so they say, I'm not going to allow you to see that movie. Obedience is saying, okay, I trust mom and dad, have my best interests at heart. I'm not going to sneak out at night and go see the movie when they're not looking or go behind their back. When mom and dad tell you what time you need to be home, obedience is coming home when they tell you. When they tell you, you can have a cell phone when you reach this age, it's not arguing and griping and complaining and throwing a tantrum or trying to get them to change their minds. It's obediently receiving instruction and doing what they tell you. So that's the first thing, kids, that God is wanting to talk to you about today, is obedience. First time obedience. The second thing he wants to talk to you about is honor. Look at verse 2. "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, kids, this is one of the Ten Commandments. You ever heard of the Ten Commandments? The Big Ten? In the Old Testament, God summarized his law into 10 different commands. This is the fifth one, the fifth commandment. So, kids, you never have to wonder, how does God feel about me honoring my mom and my dad? God has already told you in the plainest way, because he actually wrote on stone this commandment. He wrote it down on stone. Honor your father and your mother. That's how strongly God feels about it. Now, what does it mean to honor somebody? I want you to think with me now. Stay with me. What does it mean to honor somebody? Okay, I'll tell you if you don't have any ideas. To honor someone means to regard them highly, to show respect for them, to show courtesy and consideration for them. And when your mom and dad get old, it means to provide for their needs, to make sure that they have a roof over their head and they have food and they have their clothing, whatever the things that they need, you provide for them, you take care of them. I want to read a scripture from Leviticus chapter 19. Okay, Leviticus 19, verses 1 to 3. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Okay, well, how are we supposed to live out this holiness? He tells us, verse 3, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." How, kids, do you live out a life that is holy, that is pleasing to the Lord, that is righteous? The Bible tells you, you reverence your mother and your father. Now, kids, how many of you know what that word reverence means? Is that a word that you're not familiar with? The word reverence, do you know what the word respect means? It means to look up, to think highly of somebody. So to reverence means to have a deep respect that also has an element of awe. A-W-E. Awe. Okay, those of you who are into sports, how would you feel if you had a personal interview with Michael Jordan? He invited you over to his house to have dinner with him and to play some one-on-one in the backyard. How would you feel? Would you feel a little bit nervous, a little bit intimidated? I mean, if he's been your hero your whole life, there'd be this awe of being with him and his presence. Maybe it'd be like meeting the Queen of England or the president face to face. You have that sense of awe being in the presence of this very important person. That's what the Bible says we're supposed to feel or do when we're with our parents. We're to have a deep respect and an awe of them. Reverence them. Now, I know I'm fighting uphill on this one because we live in a culture that doesn't do that. Everything's fighting against you kids to have that kind of a spirit. If you watch much TV, and probably you do, I don't know that, but, oh, you don't? Okay. That's probably good for you that you don't. But it's laced everywhere you look. Your kids are, I mean, your friends, if you watch TV, if you watch movies, the music that's on the radio, everything you listen to is permeated by this attitude that it's okay to disrespect your parents. And it's not okay. The Bible's really clear about that. It's not okay. It's a sin for you to disrespect your parents. Now, let me give you some examples, and you tell me if this is honoring your parents or not. Okay? Little Billy's 5 years old, and it's dinner time. And little Billy doesn't want to sit down. All of his other family members are sitting down having their dinner, but he stands up in his chair. And then he says, well, it'd be more fun if I jumped. And so he starts jumping up and down in his chair. And Dad says, Billy, sit down now. It's time to eat. He keeps on jumping. I don't want to, Dad. And so Dad finally gets up and goes over to Billy and gently but firmly pushes him down to where he's sitting in the chair so that he will eat his dinner with the rest of the family. And little Billy says, Dad, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Is little Billy honoring his mom and his dad? No. Why? He's doing what his dad said, right? He's not getting up anymore, but his attitude is one of disrespect. You see, in order to really obey, you have to have the attitude and the action, both of them together. The attitude is to honor, show respect for. The action is to actually do what they tell you to do because you have the attitude that you honor them. Okay, let's talk about another situation. Let's say you're in the sixth grade, and all of your friends want to watch this movie that's just come out. And they say, hey, why don't you come with us? We're going to the movies. And you go ask your dad, Dad, can I go? And he says, I've heard some things about that movie, and they're not good. And I don't think it would be good for you to watch that movie, so I'm going to say no. Now, you don't sneak out at night. You stay home. You don't go watch the movie, but the next day, you trash talk your dad. You say, my dad never lets me do anything. He's really mean. I really wanted to watch that movie and he just wouldn't let me watch it. And you slander your father. Is that honoring him even though you didn't go to watch the movie?
Yeah, that's just like my mom. She never lets me do anything.
Okay. But if you respect your mom, you won't be talking like that to other people. Right? You'll be saying, my mom loves me and my mom cares about me. And she does what she does because she really cares about me and she wants me to grow up and be happy. So that's why it's important to obey her. Okay, let's take another situation. Now, this is a child that's grown up and they've moved out of the house, 19 years old. They're a sophomore in college, but they're going more and more in debt and his grades are falling fast. And so when mom and dad hear about the fact that their son, even though he's moved out and he's going to college, but he's getting in debt and his grades are suffering, they decide just to give him some advice. Some encouragement. So they talked to him about time management and about money management. Now, would it be honoring his parents if he said, Mom and Dad, I'm moved out now. It's my life. I can live it any way I want to. Would that be honoring Mom and Dad? No. It wouldn't be. To honor mom and dad would be, even though you may not technically have to do what they think you should do, you should listen to them very carefully. And if you ever should decide not to do what they say, you should have really good reason for it. And I would say you should probably have some reason that you can go to the Bible and say, the Bible tells me this, and so that's why I'm making this decision. To honor your mom and dad is to give weight and value to what they tell you is right for you to do. So, the two commands, obey and honor. That's what God commands you to do. Now, why does God command you to do those things? Let's read the Bible again. Go back to Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's the right thing to do. And in fact, all cultures, all peoples of the world understand that it's right to obey your parents and it's wrong to disobey your parents. You can go to practically any nation on the world and they, I mean, just like all people know it's wrong to rape somebody, it's wrong to kill somebody. They all know it's wrong for children to disobey their parents. It's just kind of built into us. Our conscience tells us that that's right and it's wrong to do the opposite. In fact, Romans chapter 1 says that when a society is marked by disobedience to parents, it's not that God is going to judge them. It's that God is already judging them. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. One of the results of this ungodly, unrighteous spirit is disobedience to parents. You can read it in Romans chapter 1. That's why the Bible says God gave them over to the lust of their flesh, or God gave them over to a depraved mind, or God gave them over to do things which are not proper. One of those being disobedient to parents. So our culture today is under God's judgment. It's not just that we're going to be judged. He's already begun the judgment upon America. And we know that because disobedience to parents is widespread. Homosexuality is rampant. It's accepted as an alternative lifestyle instead of sin, the way the Bible describes it. These are the things Romans 1 talks about. And when you see them being prevalent in a society, God's wrath is being revealed against that culture, against that society. We're living in a day when God is taking his hands off. He's giving us over to do our own sin. He's taking his hands off and he's expressing his anger at a culture that suppresses truth and stuffs it down and will not do what God says. So number one, the reason God wants you to obey your parents is because it's the right thing to do. Pretty simple. Secondly, because it's the smart thing to do. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 3. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 5:16. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Kids, do you want to have a happy and long life? Or do you want to have a miserable and short life? No. The Bible says if you will honor your mom and your dad, you'll have a happy, full life. Now, this isn't an ironclad guarantee, because there are some children who have obeyed their parents and they've died young. There have been some exceptions to this general rule, but it is a general rule. The kids, if you will obey mom and dad and honor them, you will have a long life and you'll have a happy life. It'll be well with you. I want to read to you from Proverbs 15, verse 5. Proverbs 15, verse 5. Who are the kids that end up dying young? Who are the kids that end up getting in drunk driving accidents and being killed? What about the kids that end up getting involved in gangs? And some of them lose their lives because of shootouts between gangs. Or kids that grow up and take drugs and die from an overdose. Or kids that grow up and are arrested for committing a crime and end up in prison for 20 years or 30 years. Generally, by and large, those are the children that would not obey their parents. And so they grow up and it is not well with them and they don't live a long life on the earth. They end up being hurt. They end up living a life filled with pain, sometimes great misery, all because they didn't learn the lesson that God told them in the beginning, that he wants them to obey and honor their parents. Now, listen to Proverbs 15:5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Okay, let's read that one again. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. What does the Bible call a child who rejects his father's discipline in his life? A fool. Kids, do you want it to be said of you that you're a fool? If you reject what mom or dad say to you, the Bible says you're a fool. You will grow up a fool, and you'll live a hard life, and there's going to be pain. You will suffer for it unless you learn this lesson young. You see, I think one of the reasons why it's so important, kids, for you to learn to obey mom and dad is because you'll never learn to obey God until you can learn to obey your parents first. You can't see God, so it's really hard to learn to relate to God, but you can see your mom and your dad. And if you can learn to obey your parents, then you'll also be able to learn how to obey God at some point. And I think the reasons why a lot of people never seem to be able to get it when it comes to the Christian life is because they had such a poor upbringing where they were never taught and insisted by their parents to show respect and to show obedience to them. So that's why it's so important. Now, there is one more reason. Because it's right, because it's smart, and because it pleases Jesus Christ, which is the most important motivation of all. Are there any children here that make a profession of Christianity? Okay, well, maybe not yet. When Paul writes to the Ephesians and he tells these children that they are to obey and honor their parents, he uses this little phrase here in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean obey your parents if they are in the Lord. In other words, obey your parents if they're Christians, but if they're not Christians, you don't have to obey them. That's not what it means. It means the way you obey them is to obey them in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to obey in the Lord? Let me read to you from a few different translations. The New Living Translation. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. That's more understandable, isn't it? Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Good News Translation says, children, obey your parents because you are Christians. Holman Christian Standard Bible, and I think this is probably the best of the three, says, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. Why do I think that? Because Paul's talking about wives, children, and slaves being submissive. Now, what does he tell the wives to do? Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. So when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, I believe what he means is, children, obey your parents as you would obey the Lord himself. Because you belong to Christ, because of your relationship to Jesus Christ, obey your parents because this is the way you give obedience to Jesus, which is the strongest and greatest motivation that we can have. If you love Jesus, there will be no motivation that will be stronger than this motivation here. Because you belong to him. Because you want to please him. Look at what he says over in Colossians, in chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Why? Because this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's what we're getting at here. Because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. It may be right, and it may be smart. You might have your own interests in mind when you obey. But more than that, this pleases Jesus. It makes him happy. When the Lord looks at you obeying your parents with a cheerful heart, with a good attitude, it makes him smile. It brings pleasure to him to see you doing that. And isn't that important to you? Don't you want to make the Lord smile? Don't you want Him to be pleased with you? One of the greatest evidences of grace when a child is converted is that they'll have a new desire and they'll make fresh efforts at obeying their parents. And if, kids, if you are in the habit of disobeying your parents, there's really no good reason why you should assume that you're saved. This is the one thing the New Testament tells children to do. The one thing. Obey, honor. And if you reject this and go on doing whatever you feel like doing, and it doesn't matter to you that you're being disobedient, that's a really good sign that you're probably not a Christian. Excuse me, a Christian at all. It ought to cause you to question whether you're a Christian if you can just live this way. Now, kids, let me wind this all up and just speak to you for a few minutes. You say, well, Pastor Brian, what you said is really hard to do. I mean, I don't like having to do what someone else tells me to do. I want to do what I want to do. It's hard to do what my dad tells me to do. When he says I can't watch that movie, that really makes me angry. I want to do that. Do you know why you get so angry when mom and dad tell you to do something and you don't want to do it? Do you know where that anger comes from?
Satan.
Well, okay, Satan, yeah. And there's something else going on too. Did you know you have a sinful heart? That all of us are born, all of us have a sinful nature? That there's sin down in our hearts that wants to rebel against authority, against mom and dad's rules. So we need to understand that this comes from my bad heart. If my heart was good, I would want to obey mom. And so you need to talk to God about that situation. You need to confess that to God as sin. But let me just say this. You'll never be successful at getting rid of that bad attitude towards your parents until God saves your soul. And so what you need more than anything else is you need to become a Christian. You need to become a new person. Let me try to make this clear, which is not always easy to do. So to become a Christian is not just to raise your hand when the preacher says, "Who wants to become a Christian?" Because anybody can do that. And they can remain being not a Christian. Anybody can say a sinner's prayer. God, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. The overwhelming majority of people who say that prayer are never converted. They go through the motions of it. So kids, what I'm talking to you about is you need to be concerned that God's work happens in your heart, where He makes you a different person on the inside. In other words, He deals with your heart. He changes what you love and what you hate. Before I was a Christian, I loved sinning, and I hated going to church. I hated reading the Bible. I hated all that stuff. When God saved me, everything flip-flopped. I started to love going to church. I loved the Bible. I loved to tell other people about what God had done in my life, and I started to hate sin. Now, of course, there was a part of me that was also attracted to it. That's my sinful nature. But there's another part, this heart that God had changed that hated it and didn't want to sin anymore. And until that change of heart happens in you, you aren't a Christian yet. That's what happens when God saves anybody. He takes out the old heart and He puts a brand new one in. And what He's calling on you to do is to turn from sin. That's what repent means, to turn around, change direction, and put all of your trust in Jesus Christ. You need to do that because only Jesus can save you from your sins. We have this bad heart. It erupts into bad actions, sinful actions. God is going to hold us all accountable on Judgment Day for all of the sins we've committed. The only hope you have, kids, of being able to stand before God and being accepted and to enter into heaven is if the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sins. And the way that happens is when you put your trust in Him. You stop saying, well, I'm a good person, really. I'm a good person and God will accept me because, you know, I never hurt anybody intentionally. I've got a good heart. I'm generous. You stop saying all of that stuff and you say, I know I'm a sinner. Until you realize that, you'll never be saved. You've got to know that you're a sinner. I wonder, kids, how many of you really realize that on the inside today? I feel it. I sense in my life that there's sin, there's rebellion to mom and dad. Well, if you feel that today, turn to Jesus. God opens up his arms wide to you and he says, come. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that means is if you're tired of trying to get in God's good favor by working hard, stop and come to Jesus and put your trust in what he did for you at the cross when he died for sin. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon all the children here what your word has to say and that they'd store it up in their heart, that, Lord, you would work through your word in their lives and that you would bring them to conversion, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.